Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in a New York state of mind. I've seen all the movie stars in their fancy cars and their limousines. Been high in the Rockies, under the Evergreens. I know what I'm needing. Don't want to waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind. It was so easy living day by day. Out of touch with the rhythm and blues. But now I need a little give and take. The New York Times, the Daily News. It comes down to reality, and it's fine with me, 'cause I've let it slide. Don't care if it's Chinatown or around the Riverside. I don't have any reason left them all behind. I'm in a New York state of mind.
And we are in a New York state of mind because today is the 20th anniversary of 9/11 in New York, and we will do a little bit of remembrance of that for the first little bit. And this is a team of voices, and you are with myself, AP Taylor, Deborah Lee, and Jay Hatter. Welcome to the show. We are a group, a team of voices, based on allpoetry.com, and if you come knocking, as you can do freely and willingly, to a team of voices, you will find Deborah Lee as your entrance guideway to our group. So we encourage you to do that. And we had a couple of poems to celebrate 9/11 before we go to our theme for today, which is Blackbird. So I thought what I'd do first is get those poems on the board. And we're very, very fortunate because we have a marvellous poet who goes and gives us poems and responds to all of the work that we do. And Gerard Green has given us a wonderful poem about 9/11. So I thought I'd put that in the studio first and play that. Then we'll do one of mine and we'll go from there. So talk soon.
The Martyrs on Flight 93, written and read by Gerald Green. I opened the door for my wife and followed her onto the concrete deck, overlooking the valley of sacrifice. She took my hand as she stepped onto the hard-packed gravel path between the newly planted memorial trees. We walked in silence as tears evaporated slowly in the gentle breeze. Minuscule stones crunched beneath our feet with a reassuring sound on this two-mile circle of love, patriotic martyrs on Flight 93. The building behind us with long lines of people tell the story of heroes at this place, with recordings and pictures of grown-ups and children who flew in that plane on that 9/11 day. One wife told her husband, "Be brave," on the cell phone just before he ended the call. He then stood and confronted the evil intruders who held captive the martyrs on Flight 93. We walked for a mile toward the left and around the large circle that led us to the now hallowed ground, the footbridge over water, representing to me technology of flight to benefit man, delivered us to the remote parking lot for those unable to make the mile-long walk. A few yards further stood the wall of remembrance with names of the martyrs on Flight 93. I sat on a bench by a man who was resting, who seemed to be eager to make conversation, told of his friend from Hawaii, a lady who flew from Pittsburgh on that warm, fateful day. A celebration journey was hers as she traveled, expanding her business with purchases of new products along the way, not knowing she had joined these martyrs on Flight 93. In spite of the 16-year interval of silence, his pain for her surfaced as he talked of his friend, and this was the first time he had come to this place in her honor, while I listened in sorrow as he pointed to the boulder beyond the white fence and told me of its purpose and what it represents. The marker, he said, is the point of their impact, of the martyrs on Flight 93. I stood in silence before a name on the wall, and the woman to my left began talking to me. She told of the man that the marble slab represented and of his friendship to her extended family. This was no longer just a name chiseled on the wall, but a person of kindness who made a difference now affecting me. I grieved with this lady as she suffered while thinking of the heroic martyrs on Flight 93. We finished the walk on the gravel without speaking, as it wound through black-eyed Susans and wild flowers surrounding the path to the building at the top of the hill. A wall of stone stood next to the building, showing the direction of the flight path that day. My mind tried to process emerging emotions as I lingered, looking back at the precious memorial of martyrs on Flight 93 and the poem.
Thank you, Gerald. And a very personal account of clearly a very meaningful and beautiful trip to that memorial of that flight, which was the flight that didn't actually get to New York because its passengers went and overwhelmed the folks that were there. So I'm just going to give one more poem, a quick villanelle of mine, and then we'll move forward. But this is In Memorial of Villanelle, and it goes a little bit like this. Planes we thought at one upon skies, their roar overhead commonplace, did minds conspire death arise. Licenses were shelter for lies within not the slightest care or grace. Planes we thought at one upon skies. The students, their ruse and guise, like thousands to career left trace. Minds conspired death arise. Their destination, hope's demise, thousands of innocents apace. Planes we thought had won upon skies. As towers fell, resolved the wise take his fight and engage at face. Twisted minds conspired death arise. Battles fought to images excise, this would not end dreamer's space. Planes we thought had won upon skies. Twisted minds conspired, death arrives. End poem. So, we move forward, Deb, and we move forward, Hatter, to where we are today. And but we do so remembering what happened 20 years ago and that those horrible and shocking events of the day. But we move forward. So, Hatter, we had a theme for this week, Blackbird. Blackbird was our theme.
Yes, we did.
How did you find the wonderful world of Blackbird to write about?
I don't think I had any problem with writing about blackbirds. I love the ravens, the crows, the corvids, magpies, the blackbirds.
Yes.
Very intelligent animals.
Absolutely.
And I
absolutely
tend to watch them every time I see them.
And very lyrical, too. Very lyrical. Yes, sorry, Hatter.
Oh, I was just going to say one thing I learned about them. When they reevaluated the animal, the ladder of intelligence in the animal world, crows and ravens jumped from like seventh or ninth to third by the intelligence.
Wow.
This guy from he was a kid that does the TED Talks.
Yes.
You know what TED Talks?
Yes.
Yeah. And what he did, he created a one of the examples. He created a coin machine you'd have to pick up a wooden coin and put it in the slot to receive a treat. And with no other help, these crows figured it out. That was just one of the experiments he did in his talk. And what I did find out with crows and ravens, the difference is between usually animals watch humans. They watch what they're doing, and they're watching how they're acting and their body language. Crows and ravens, they're watching your eyes. They're watching what you're watching. And when puzzled, why are you watching that? So and there's all sorts of videos about the crows and ravens, and invite anybody to take the time because it's most interesting.
Well, I was going to play because a blackbird's beautiful at singing, Hatter. You've got a beautiful voice. Blackbird's calls are very distinctive. I'm not sure that's the case in the US, but I think it is. I mean, I think they're well known for beautiful musical lyrical calls. So I'm just going to try this and see if this works, and see if I can play an Australian blackbird. Oh no, I can't do it because it's going to go for a advertisement first. So there you go. Go figure. You try and do something, and it gets killed. There you go. I love the internet. You know, you can't just play a blackbird.
Yeah.
You have to have a supermarket advertisement.
Yeah.
So,
And there's a distinctive difference between a raven and a crow. There's quite a difference if you listen to them. A crow caws.
They have different.
A crow caws.
They have different sounds. Yeah.
Yeah, but a raven has a different sound to it. They knock.
They do.
They call it knock.
Yeah. And when I think of a blackbird singing, and I wish I could play it, except of course I'll have to go through a bloody another supermarket commercial. It has this sort of beautiful lyrical choral sort of phrasing, and it just sings, you know. It's just like it's singing a choral sort of psalm, and it just finds the right lyrics and the places that it's like it's singing a tune. So it's something quite beautiful about the voice of the blackbird, and so for that reason I think it's always sort of found its place in a lot of poems, and so we're very fortunate again to have a whole series of
our SoundClouds tonight from poets that have written about blackbirds. Gerald, again. So Gerald's given us two SoundClouds tonight, which is fantastic. Cal, my old friend, has got one. And even Pretty Bird has got a SoundCloud on blackbirds. So we've got three SoundClouds to get our way through, Hatter.
All right, cool. Yeah, the blackbirds and ravens have gone through some terrible times as far as being man had thought of them, just like cats. They loved, revered, and then hated, and then but it's nothing that we didn't control.
And we have Skye calling up, but I think she's got to sort of read and run, and probably, for that matter, so will Stephen when we hear from him. So we've got a couple of sort of read and runs, and then a couple of bits and pieces. So we'll just see how we go, Hatter. We'll just see when we can get people to call in and when they're free. So, and I know, Deb, you were trying to have a chat to Skye about that. So, Skye, if you're listening, give us a buzz now, and we'll get your piece in, because I know you have to read and run. So, and Stephen, you're often the same. So, if that's the case, we'll get you to call in shortly and get those poems read. So, meantime, Hatter, I think we might, while we're waiting, get one of our SoundClouds in, we might grab Cal's piece.
All right.
And get that on the board. Great to see Cal out to writing again. Because he had a bit of a break there for a while. So let's just put that onto the board. Stephen's going to call in a bit, which is cool. So let's put Cal's poem up on the board, and then what I'll do is go to the studio and play his SoundCloud, which I'll do now.
Sounds good. Her name was Alice. Pop the window, hit the shadow.
Leaf pirouettes in autumn blowing wind. Jazzy notes twined in lazy blue. Ships groaning, moaning motor wakes. Cobblestone streets, smoky rooms. Eggshell vinyl spinning slow liquid moods. Shaded moons dropping over trash can alleys. Sleeping with cigarette madness. Kissing midnight ravens.
We'll see. Hatter, Cal's got sort of the whole Bob Dylan sort of guitar thing going on now, and he's got the guitar, he's got the banjo, he's got the whole thing going down, and when we hear from him now, it often is with instrumental accompaniment, and it does make it interesting. I love the little insert too.
Yeah, there's a certain animals that we've the humans have created their own subspecies, if for lack of a better word, being that they are city. Their environment is the city. Like there are raccoons, there are otters, crows, is another one, just like the feral cats. They act different. They survive. Following us around with our, leaving trash or whatever. So, we are responsible for, I guess it's a subspecies. Wouldn't you call that a subspecies?
Well, I, It's something that's become sort of the norm from something that was not had up. Yeah. So these animals have created a home where there was none. Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been dangerous for them, to where they've learned to survive, and some of them that can survive best just about anywhere, like raccoons.
Well,
very clever.
That's right. Or squirrels. Squirrels, I think,
probably
are even more at home in you know, urban locations than they are now in their own native locations.
Yeah, so. I used to love it when the crows would find a nut. We had walnut trees around, and they would you'd be standing playing in the street, football or whatever, and you'd hear these things dropping out of the sky. And you'd, what the hell is that?
Yes.
It was years before we figured out it was the crows.
Now, meantime, we have been joined by Stephen. How are you going, Stephen?
Good. How you doing, Happy?
Hey, Stephen.
Thank you. How are you?
Hello.
Good to have you.
How is everybody?
Look very, very well. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right.
Yeah.
We had to do
a little
snack run.
Yeah. You're still doing the work stuff that takes you into work at crazy, crazy times?
Oh, of course, but I'm actually off tomorrow. It's just wanted to spend some time this evening, but I was going to stick around for a little bit after. So.
Okay. Cool. Very good. Well, I have your piece up on the board, Stephen, just to kick things off.
Well, if you don't mind, not to be rude, but since Stephen has a little bit longer and Sky did just call,
She called.
Stephen, do you mind if we have Sky read so she can hang out with her godchildren?
I could actually wait. I could actually wait for Stephen.
Hello, Sky.
That's why I'm late. She ended up asleep. So, I mean, I can't stay here for a long, but to wait to laugh at Stephen.
There you go. Well, Stephen, if that's the case,
I'm
going to go back to you.
Never is meaning this.
No, it's fine. I'm in awe of the picture in Stephen's poem.
So I'm going to go back to you, Stephen, and say let's read your poem.
Alrighty. Well, Blackbird. First off, of course, I had to think of the Beatles, I also had to think of Poe. So I mixed the Beatles and Poe, and this is called Raven Fly into the Lightning of a Dark Black Night. As family members rot in the ground, a black-feathered beak's squawk of never again eyeing them, I sit doddering at the electrical flashes that slither between raindrops and vibrate my eardrums with thundered finality. I throw the stained glass window open upon its rusted hinges, which squeal in protest against the gales that push back on panes and panes. I scream into the clouded night of soiled sarcophaguses and crumbling concrete vaults and shredded palls, begging the blackbird to fly into obsidian straight-line breath of the howling squall and leave me to welter in the madness of my wretched rue. End poem. Mm.
There's
the
poetry dark, Stephen. Yes. Hatter, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah, you got that Poe in at the end there, strong. Yeah, the box is going to open. Another one, Stephen.
Yeah.
Just you know, you write every day, you're going to get better and better, and boy, you have. Congratulations, man. I mean, it's all about the words, all about the puzzle. You piece together, and somebody else can come behind you and write the same verse with different words, and it's not as effective in my head anyway.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Hatter.
Yeah.
No, well done, Steve.
And Sky, I have a sense this might be right down your alley, this pump.
Yeah. Can you come to me in the comments? I'm sorry.
Of course.
Right
I can.
Now. Okay.
I'm going to go to Deb.
Please
come back
to
me.
Deb?
I have to reread it. Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to come back. Deb, did you want to say a few words about the Ravens and the GIF even at the front?
Absolutely. Yeah. Stephen, I think you outdid yourself with this one. I really love the images and the thoughts of the electrical flashes. Where's that? What? With stuff like I throw the stained glass window open upon its rusted hinges, which squeal in protest. I like the thought of the hinges squealing in protest. But I really love this stanza. I scream into the clouded night of soiled sarcophaguses and crumbling concrete vaults and shredded pails. It's like spot-on imagery, and the little touches, I agree with everybody, with the Poe coming out here, begging the blackbirds to fly. Really cool. And again, wow, look at that picture. It's incredible. And, oh, my goodness, I see you're two away. Look at you.
Thank you.
Final test.
There you go. Now, Sky, have you had a chance to have a reflection on this piece?
I did, thank you. I posted a very old piece, and I haven't read it in so long. I was rereading it, so sorry, Stephen. And I didn't want to just make, like, our general, this is good comment. But this really is good. I got to read it, and I really love it. I think we all here have a love for Poe, and of course this story in particular, when people cannot say, people that have a love for literature, have a love for dark literature, definitely can't say Raven without thinking of Poe. That's just how it is. It was just permanently there. I thought it was brilliant. I was hoping it going to get your rendition of the Raven again, because I really love that. You know how much I love that poem. So it's really well written too. I loved the ending. I think the ending, I think the most, I'm hearing myself fast. I scream into the clouded night of soiled sarcophagus and crumbling concrete bolts and shredded falls. And then, of course, right at the end, to wither and the madness of my wretch group. Really love that part. Congratulations on your 10. Again, it's the final countdown.
Thanks. I didn't bring the other Raven poem because it was too many words. So.
No. Stephen, thank you.
Is there a word limit?
Yeah, 350, I think, so. And that one's almost over 500, so.
I don't know how much.
Are you in trouble, Scott?
I don't think it's more than. No, I'm worried. Oh. What?
No, you're not. No, you don't have to be worried, Scott. We can be flexible, as always. So, Stephen, thank you. That was a fantastic bomb. Well done. Well written.
We know the owners. We'll let you go.
We do know the owners. We do. That's true.
I don't think it's over that.
And they haven't changed too much over time, Hatter. So that's good news. Now, Sky, did you want to put your piece up onto the board, please?
I did. And it's not quite a black bird, but it is a hawk. And I spent forever trying to find this for the kid who now fell asleep. So you guys are going to have to hear it, because I...
Sounds good. So, I'm happy. So, let's roll
I thought in particular you might like this. I don't really bring these ones out too often, but it is a young series that a lot of you might know. I think I've brought it out a couple times for you. This is actually a prequel to it. So this Twilight Arc series that I've been doing for a little while, for kids, but a little bit
okay.
older. But this is actually a prequel. So.
Okay, that's completely fine. Now, Steve and I have put you on hold on mute just because you're getting a lot of feedback from your line, but we'll get you back in one tick. So we're all yours, Sky.
This is called Lady Hawk, the Golden Staff, and the One-Eyed Oracle by Sky Darkholm. In a time before the Seven Realms died, there were rooted in a woman with diamond skin who lost her own. And so it grew therein. She shimmered like the light on water well, casted both wicked and charming spells. She didn't dare control her mystic guests, and always spoke its bidding at request. It lay beneath the sequence of pearl threads, poured in the dark like the smiling dead. She became the one-eyed oracle in time, and told its prophecies an iambic rhyme. She was sought out by those who craved a spell of magic or perhaps to save. That is why Lady Hawk found her, chalet hidden in Barrow Grove beyond Titus Bay. Lady Hawk was an elf, or partly so. She was cursed by Onyx Xavier's long ago. She had wings once with talons sharp and tried to take an owl's heart. Unaware it was an owl, the owl was royal daughter. She was turned, vanished to black water. Hunting for owls was forbidden. I should have rewritten. Hunt for owls was forbidden, she knew, but she believed the laws to be askew. And so the ruler of the Twilight Arc to pay the eternal price. For foolish arrogance and naive vice, she only had feathered ears of old self, a gown of golden pearl, but no wealth. She did not forgive, surrender, or forget, and swore one day he'd pay his debt. So when the realm was torn by greed, she beseeched the oracle to be free. But when the answer was bestowed, she felt cheated of what she was owed. The one-eyed oracle said she must find the arc owl Octavia, fates were twined. And after she helped restore the domain with golden staff, she'd be whole.
Well, there you go. It was a prequel, and it was quite beautiful, Scott, as a prequel, and it just reminded me of my days sort of reading Tolkien. I don't know why, but it did. Stephen, did you want to say a few words about Sky's piece?
Yes, I remember this because I've heard it before, and I commented on it before, but I don't know what happened to my comments, Sky. You said you weren't going to delete rights anymore. I'm kidding. Anyway.
I don't think I bought this one.
But I like this a lot. I like the story that you give here, and of course I remember that I commented on this before and said that because you used the term Lady Hawk, I of course had to think of that movie with Michelle Pfeiffer and Matthew Broderick and Rutger Hauer. Could not think of it with that title. But yeah, this is just awesome. I like the like AP said, it definitely has like a Tolkien feel to it.
Thank you.
Now, Stephen, before I move past you again, did you want to say a few words about any upcoming shows that you might have that are pending?
Sure. Monday night is the Mortuary of Shadows. I don't know if I should do my imitation or not. It's terrible, but I think I'll try it. We're going to go with Malachi and the Children of the Corn on Monday night. So we got quotes from the movie and books to write to.
Thanks for trying. So, well done.
My
daughter's
horrified of cornfields because of Malachi. Just saying.
There you go. Deb, did you want to say a few words?
Yeah. Sky, you're really great at telling stories. You just dive in and you feed us these details and images and you pull us in, waiting to find out where you're going to go next. And in this specific one, you had great rhyme in it. You had great visuals. I'm trying to pick a favorite, but Lady Hawk was an elf human, or partly so. She was cursed by Onyx Aviers long ago. She had wings once with talons sharp and tried to take an Argal's heart. Really, really awesome. Just great. Like I said, the stories. And when you read them for us, the fun you had writing it comes out in your voice while you're reading it, too. So it's like, it's really a great share. And on a side note, why do you take it away? Is it something that you think people wouldn't want to read or something? Or
I have like OCD issues, like clutter, but I always had stuff in my back file. So even if I deleted it, I could take it back out. So I often would switch out poems to keep a little bit of a screen life on my pages, but I was plagiarized and I got really mad and I deleted everything in my back files. So like if you take a poem and you undelete it, the comments will still be there. It'll still be in a contest, like it'll still do things. But if you delete your back file, then everything was just wiped. And last year I was very upset and I have wiped everything. So I've been better and just been like a year now and I've been good. Steven just likes to yell at me.
He does, doesn't he? Yell at you or push buttons on you. Just saying.
You know, you know what happens is when I read these rights, whenever I read the children's rights, I go into my children's rights voice that I read to the kids.
Yeah.
So you guys get like my what I read to the kids voice. You know, it's a very different voice.
There you go.
Thank you.
Noted. Hatter, did you want to say a few words about Lady Hawk and Sky's poem?
Yeah, the way Sky writes. I was one that always had to ask her, is this true to the fable or true to the story? And found out that, because it always sounds like it is, and I found out that a good percentage of the time it's your own beautiful mind. I remember when you explained about wiping the back server. You did it on one of my shows, but I didn't know why. May I ask real quickly, how did you find out you had been plagiarized?
It was through a generator, through another site. It was actually through another site on AC. But yeah, it was taken from this site and put on a different site. It wasn't on AC. So, but it was taken from AC.
That's it.
So.
Wow. To borrow that machine.
No. If you take, a lot of times if you take like a chunk, like your piece, it'll generate. If you search results in Google, so if you're ever curious, you could just take a chunk and generate it through through the Google server, and if you find pieces of your poetry come up, then. But it was somebody else.
I've done that with titles and hook lines. But I haven't done a chunk. Maybe I ought to do a chunk.
Mm. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, it was very, very good. Very, very good. And the way you write the sci-fi or the King of Thorns or whatever they call it, King of Thorns. Those characters just comes out naturally to you from you. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you, Hatter.
You're welcome.
Just in case, I know you've got very little time, but just in case, Stephen and Sky, you have any time left, Deb, I have put the collaboration on the board.
I can stay for that, and then I'll be bidding adieu.
Okay, cool. Righto. Well, Deb, we're in your hands.
All right. Well, this poem is called Premiere Movie Weeks Are Always So Packed. Here we go. The one-way arrows on the two-way street points out that we're off to see the wizard. With no scarecrows that we know, no lion in tin cans, no paths to follow by the wave of his hand, so the chicken is worried in a court. Harry dogs and cats think that it's all about to change, but not before the draft horse. Stranger still is the marquee bill. Dorothy can't find her way, so now the pumpkin's soon pie, of course. In 27, they broke the heavens, saying God is sure is dead now. The winds find are blowing clouds, and the kites in storms dressed in uniforms, so they won't know your name if the chimneys poke past shrouds. 50 plus 3 and counting down to see who it is they hung out to dry, while many balancing large, lugging bags on the sidewalks neath the neon of the sky, 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 with all seeking out the fromage. Chefs bake in pots and pans because they can, and the street smells like bread, and now the policemen eat their snacks. Sitting time by hand with the TikTok man, they say he went cuckoo on pot tipping to man will track. Music stores, the rhymes playing strings from the door just to swap as music signs are in. Christmas lights in September for all to remember the day the wizard came to town, marked by a longing tune of a violin. End poem.
Not
bad.
Got through a bit of that, Heather. We got through a bit of that
one. Yeah.
I was frustrated because the more I couldn't zoom in like I normally would, it buzzed out.
Yes.
The pixel,
yes.
Wasn't
yes.
quite there. So I don't think I was dimed into the picture totally. I'm happy the way it went together, though.
Oh, I'm happy with how it came together, Hatter. I think it was really neat. But I'll leave it for others to comment. So, Sky, what did you think of having been, you know, referenced in said film?
Oh, this was fun. This was fun. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where I want to go. There's so many directions. But maybe the hairy dogs and the cats think that's all about, but not before the draft horse, Stranger Stills. This is just a Marquee Bill, Dorothy can't find. I like the Wizard of Oz spin that you brought into this. And there was another part. I mean, there were a lot of parts that were really cool, but the oh my gosh, sky, sky, sky with the seeking out and the. Now, how many times do I get mentioned in these collabs? Because I feel like there's a lot of them.
A lot.
Yeah, frequently. Frequently.
I can't write your name.
Cheese, mostly, but frequently.
Is it every time, Hatter, every time you say that you write sky, you've got to just say sky, sky, sky?
It sort of happens. It's not by choice. It's
yeah, don't look at me. Don't look at me. You know, well, I'm just saying, don't look at me. Stephen, did you want to say a few words about this collaboration? Thank you. It's very good of you.
Okay. I like this a lot. To quote The Wizard of Oz, that's a horse of another color. I like the imagery. And like Scott said, I'm not sure where to start either, but amazing how when you said that, Sky, I actually was going to that same place with the hairy cats, dogs and cats. I think it's all about to change, but not before the draft horse. So I was going there as well. Go figure. Maybe because the end of that stanza talks about pumpkin pie, which is my favorite pie. So you guys made me hungry there. The fresh baked bread that the policemen are eating rather than donuts is pretty cool, too. But yeah, I like this. A lot happening in that picture. So
a lot
happening in the poem. Roll the red carpet out over the yellow brick road and let's have some fun.
Yep.
There we go.
Yep, that worked. Looked very well. I still think we get our best collaborations when there's lots going on in the picture. And there was lots going on in that picture. And I think we sort of managed to skate our way through it quite nicely, Adam.
Yeah. It went together. Deborah did a wonderful job putting it together.
She did. Yeah, I agree with you. Because if you look at the length of lines that I did and you did, they're quite different. Like mine are about half the length of yours. There was a little task there to actually balance up that difference, much less anything else.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to, when I couldn't get zoomed in on a lot of the detail that I wanted,
yeah.
I found the longer lines was a little tougher for me, but
yes.
When I sent mine in late, and when I did, I just
yes.
shook my head and said, good luck, Deborah, but she did, it worked out.
No, well, there you go, well done, Deb, for getting it together at short notice, so thank you.
Yeah, that does make it a wee bit harder, but yeah, the I sent you both the one for next week, and I was just checking
yes.
while I was listening, and this one, at least when you need to blow up and see what kind of stuff's there, it doesn't blur so much, so it should be a little bit easier to see the stuff.
We're quite
I didn't realize that
stuff.
The other one did that until you just said it, and I was looking, and now I feel
yeah.
bad, but this one is not the same.
Oh, no, it's not your fault, it's whoever photographed the original picture.
Today, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are going down to Baguette. You know, so soon. I did like 3 shows this month, totally impromptu. This is going to be talking about the Eye of the Sahara. So I'm excited about that one. So we'll go into a little bit of that. Then the Tree Lobster and Falls Pyramid. So if you want to get the creepy crawlies on, you could do that. You could talk about the island or about the tree lobsters. You could go wherever you want, really.
Yeah.
I don't really care where you guys go with these, as long as it's semi on topic, because I just like to talk about the stuff. And then prompt number 3 is pretty cool. It's the chromatic adaption. If you've watched the video, I suggest blowing it up on your screen. It's a pretty cool how your mind works. It always intrigues me. And, you know, if you don't want to write about the mechanics of it in your poem, just bring me a poem with pretty colors and how they transition. So you can be as creative.
Yeah.
You can go reality or fiction or mix it both. Or, you know,
yeah.
write me a scary story about some big bugs. You know?
And so and you've got a little bit of time. A little bit of time. So that's good. You've got a little bit of time to do that. So good news.
And I'm sorry, but I can't help myself. Sky, if you had not just told us, I would have never guessed that you really like to talk.
You should have seen today on my show, I went on like a half an hour tangent about children's literature. Like,
and Stephen did
wow.
Every one. Wow.
There you go. I haven't done that yet, but you know, Julie
really
so far.
Does have a button that, it's like a little nudge so she knows that she's talking too much.
You're definitely easily heard. You're definitely easy to listen to.
Purple button, purple tangent button comes on. Beep, 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 you know. Anyway.
Steven has a special button. Is Steven still here? Steven, tell him your special button for me when I start talking too much.
He's got a button.
Is Steven here?
Steven?
I was muted. But yeah, I'm sorry. I have the one button that tells you, like on a Mario Brothers game, that you're running out of time. I'll play that quietly in the background. Yeah. And then she's done. We have from SpongeBob SquarePants, you hear 2 hours later after she's done.
Right. There you go. When in doubt, press the button. So, good work. So, Sky, always a pleasure having you with us. So, thank you for phoning in and reading and everything. We will talk very soon.
Good day, Sky.
And, Stephen, are you still able to keep along with us for a little bit longer?
I'll hang for one more poem.
Okay, we can do one more poem. Hatter, did you want to put your poem up on the board and we'll do your poem next?
Sure.
I'll grab it.
You're going to grab it, Deb? Thank you, Deb. And we'll put Hatter's poem, Blackbirds, on the line. And we will read that next, Hatter. And then we'll do some SoundClouds and some of my stuff. And we'll roll on by. So,
knock them out, okay.
Now, you've got to remember, too, Hatter, you've got to remember that you've got a topic to choose for next week, too, because it's your choice, putting that out there, just so that you don't forget.
Okay.
You've got about an hour to put something together. But your poem is on the board.
Okay. I got jumped here. Hold on. Okay, here we go. And it's just called Blackbirds. And I hope you can follow it. It goes like this. When time stood still on the first days of gray, I noticed the sky was no longer blue. Colors that fade will wash you away, because that's what shadows do. Crowded in clouds, calling out loud, the corvids have gathered to die. They question what's real by flipping their bills, but never asking the question why. Ravens have tokens for machines that are broken, just trying to get to the point. Simmered and settled, boiled in kettles, the magpies are smoking a joint. Colors are missing and young lovers still kissing, but no one is changing a thing. Shaken and stirred, remember the words, because blackbirds will never sing.
There is darkness there, Hatter. Blackbirds will never sing. Very nice. Stephen, did you want to pass comment on the blackbirds?
First off, the picture is very interesting. That'd be something to drive through.
Yeah.
I've had bugs hit the windshield, but never a bird, never a bunch of birds. But yeah, the stanzas, the first couplet after that first stanza, crowded in clouds, calling out loud, the corvids gathered to die. It made me think of that thing that you were talking about. A couple months ago, about all the birds just all of a sudden dying. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's probably where you're going to. I like the of course, the inner rhyme that you always like to bring. It's always really cool. The ravens have tokens for the machines that are broken. Just trying to get to the point. I like that one a lot. And the magpies are smoking a joint. Stay in school, as Hatter would say. It's very cool. I like this a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, it's definitely another thing around here in Northern California was the magpies, the crows, and the blackbirds. Just we've taken away the orchards, the farmland, and naturally they go away too.
Absolutely.
No. Well done. Thank you, Stephen. And Deb, did you want to say a few words about blackbirds?
I do. Well, for one thing, I really, really love the ending. Shaken and stirred, remember the words, because blackbirds will never sing. I like the rhyme and stuff, obviously, but there's such a sadness with the last line. The blackbirds will never sing. It's like... But from the very first line, when time stood still on the first days of gray, I noticed the sky was no longer blue. Colors that fade will wish you away, because that's what shadows do. Creepy, creepy start.
It's like the birds. It's like a Hitchcock scene or something. It really awesome. Brevity Header.
Thank you, Deborah.
No, nicely done, Heather. Nicely done. I think you sort of picked up that sort of sense of for sort of foreboding almost and darkness. So I think you did that really, really well. So
thanks, Effie.
Thank you, Doug. Well, I suspect, Stephen, you're going to have to disappear, and then I'll put up one of my little brief ones up on the board. So, but thank you for hanging out with us, Stephen. It was much appreciated.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Everybody have a good night.
Yeah, no,
night,
thank
Stephen.
You. We will.
Love and respect.
And we'll see you next time around. Thank you again.
Good night.
Night-night. Okie doke. Well, Hatter, I did write a few poems for this subject, and I thought I might put one of mine up on the board now. It's only very brief. It's a brevity called Dawn, and it goes a little bit like this. Blackbird, a quivering whistle, flies drifting towards a still darkened sky. Hollow bear, a chorus of frills, building upon a note, until a warble amongst still glittering comets, dancing upon stars, to welcome the intervening dawn. End poem.
You know,
welcome.
You know, sometimes when you see the birds moving in unison across the sky, and they're like synchronized, and there's something about the beginning there that a quivering whistle flies drifting towards a still darkened sky, and I could just, for some reason, see them in formation. And towards the end, until a warble amongst still glittering comets. It had awesome brevity, and I mean, what, you know, is there 50 words here? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah, I didn't even count them. I just quickly thinking about, you know, how to get that sort of sense of presence, for want of a better word. And I think it's like 50
words. It
reads
like a vivid snapshot, or maybe even a little video captured on a cell phone where you could hear the bird in the background as well. But it's extremely vivid imagery for a brevity.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Stephen, for commenting too after he just bit. Hatter, what did you think of this? Almost a micro brevity, really, is it, with the 40 words? It's not much of it there.
Yeah, and they're the hardest ones to critique because you got less to pick from. But the way you write, I said it many times. Yeah, I said it many times. You get to the point. What was it? Dancing upon stars to welcome the intervening dawn. It's almost got you just got a sort of a sorrow in there too.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I, as I said, I don't normally write sort of micro brevities, but it just sort of appeared, which was sort of interesting. So, it was genuinely interesting. Because as I said, it's unusual for me, but yeah, it was just something about the chorus and the way that blackbirds sort of sing that sort of got me. So there you go. Anyway, so a quick little poem. And I was going to go to Pretty Bird next, Hatter, who sent us a SoundCloud. So I'm going to play that now, and I'll put her poem up on the board.
My Crows of Darkness Ate the Moon by Pretty Bird. I stabbed the moon to stop time. It only released my shadows. Fighting storm clouds and firmamental fractured psyche, the incessant ticking echoes its reminders that the past has no future. Let the sky fall in full moon pieces if only I could wish away the rain. It's too cold in the dark to fly, so murderous. They glide on my breath to stay warm. If my tears could glue the cracks and make the moon shine once more, I would cry oceans and give them all away. Moment by moment, the mud grows high around my ankles, each tick foreboding my consumption at my own doing. They call me home to a place I cannot yet see. Until I close my salted caramel eyes, melted sugar sears lashes in occlusion, where all I will ever see is the moon I stabbed so violently. Tormented by the sound of my own failure as time keeps ticking in the walls of my firmamental fractured psyche.
And so the clock ticked down. Heather, what did you think of Pretty Birds first?
This is another example, and I've mentioned it before, how Pretty Bird reads. It wasn't so noticeable in this one as others, but she does beautifully at introducing the beginning of each stanza, each thought, and build it up, and it usually breaks away a little. Towards the end of the middle, and then she delivers that last line of it, and it's unique. I notice it when it's real strong, but nobody does it better than Pretty Bird.
No, I agree. She's got an incredible style about how she reads a poem, and she sort of almost sidles into the verse, and then she sort of hits you with the end of it each time. It's really, really interesting the way she does it. Deb, what did you think?
Well, I remember this one. It's from almost 2 years ago, and I remember being practically speechless when I was done listening between what she was saying and the ticking. The ticking was making my palms sweat. It was so good. I've had this one on one of my lists for a while, and it was one of the first times that I heard her read, and it was just like mind-blowing. Like you guys were saying, there's something about the way she reads and the way she threads the words, and it's just excellent. I mean, I might be a bit prejudiced, but I think we have some of the best voices hanging out on a team of voices, and she's definitely one of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. She has a great thing that you can tell a good voice because it's distinctive, number one, and you can tell a great voice, number two, because it in the way that the words are spoken, it gives you something extra about the piece. And every time Pretty Bird reads her pieces, you get you find something extra in them because of the way she reads it.
Yeah, that's a big advantage that we have these recordings, the SoundClouds and such, to have the author read their own stuff.
Yes.
It would have meant...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you take a great poem and, you know, you read it, but then you hear the poet read it and you're like, stunned in awe because...
Yeah.
You know where you want to put the emphasis. You know where you want to drive it home. You know where you want, how you want people to hear it. And it makes a big difference in the best possible way.
It does.
Go ahead, AP.
Sorry, Heather. No, it's yours.
Do you remember when we were doing our contests, I had one that when Frank first started calling in and being a part of the groups, I remember in Deborah's book, it was one where, I don't know if you helped judge it or if it was just me, but after I rated all the poems. Usually they had about 10 or 11, 12 of them. And Frank's was not in the top three, just by the way the procedure we did it. But the night he called and he read it, he read his own, I felt so obligated to get a hold of him and tell him how sorry I was, because I didn't catch the influx of how he read it. And I was supposed to, I questioned myself to who should I be, who am I to be judging anybody's right, because I felt so that
you actually
I
did that
it.
On air. When he called and read it, he blew you away so much that you said to him, if I had heard that, you probably would have won.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely. So it is an advantage. Like you said, the little things, the pauses, we'll call it the pretty bird effect.
Yes, the pretty bird effect.
Cool.
We can do that. So, she certainly is, I think, one of the great readers on the site. So, just going back to the board now, Deb, did you put a poem on? I think you did. Well, you didn't.
Oh yeah, but you're. I mean, if you want, we can just do Gerald's Blackbird.
Yeah. Well, let's do Gerald's Blackbird, and then we'll see where we get to. So I'm just going to put that up on the board because, again, Gerald's got one of the great, I think, one of the great voices. It's rather matter of fact, actually, but it seems to suit his poetry remarkably well. So let me put that poem up, and we'll play Gerald's SoundCloud now.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take his broken wings and let him fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
Fly, Blackbird. Fly, written and read by Gerald Green. The darkest hour has pulled its trigger, releasing havoc upon his world, adding tragedy to tragedy, pain to pain. Beaten down where pebbles live, among the pointed rocks, he gasps for air, any air, in this hour when innocence sleeps. No tears come to his defense. No cry will compensate when justice turns its head and no one cares. Pointless is his cause. Movement has no purpose. The grave promises rest, eternal rest. He barely hears a tender voice among confusion's clamor, but as he listens, he hears words of encouragement. Fly, in spite of broken wings, learn to fly. Spread what won't spread. Move what seems unmovable. See, although blindness has his veil around your head, learn to see, and daylight will soon surround. Let your blackness embrace the black of night to your advantage. Seize the unseizable. Navigate your way while darkness conceals your strength. End poem.
His broken wings and let him fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive.
There you go, and beautifully done too in terms of production of that, Gerald, with Blackbird song topping and tailing and lovely work, and beautifully read. Did you want to say a few things?
Yeah, I think it's really clever how he started and ended with the song and then brought this into the middle. Man, beaten down where pebbles live among the pointed rocks, he gasps for air, any air in this hour
where innocence sleeps, no tears come to his defense. No cry will compensate when justice turns its head and no one cares. It's like, wow. I'm always impressed by what he sends, no matter what topic we throw out there. He always entertains, always impresses, always comes with something unexpected. Such a treat.
No, it is, absolutely. And Hatter, what did you think of Gerald's piece?
Yeah, Deb, you 99% of the time you always pick the verse I did too. Once again, the no tears comes to his defense. There was a it's nobody cares until it's too late, right?
Mm.
And then it's flipping too late. There was an oddity. Who else earlier had the line pain to pain? Is that you, AP? Or was that
That's
Steven?
Good question. Might
I think
be
it was Steven,
I think. Yeah.
Pain to pain. But that was cool. Yeah, he's got the voice. The closest I can think of, remember the Animal Adventures on Walt Disney, the narrator?
Yeah.
Who would voice in the thoughts of the animals and that kind of thing. Sort of like that. Very easily
that.
Listening to. Very easily to listen to.
Well, interestingly enough, Hatter, the song Blackbird is one of the 10 most recorded songs of all time.
Wow.
Seems like everybody has a go.
Really?
But everybody from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young through to Sarah McLachlan, the Dandy Warhols, Betty LeVette, Dave Grohl, you name it, everybody's had a go at it. So it's an incredibly famous little song.
Yeah. That was written about, oh, shoot, I'm spacing out. I learned this a little while ago. You know this, don't you, AP, who Blackbird was written for?
I do. Yeah, well, it was specifically written about race relations in the U.S. and the troubles of the civil rights movement, and even more specifically, at one point, Paul McCartney said it was written about the death of Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
So, there you go. It's
genius.
And on the White Album, an incredible sort of collection of songs, and some of which were quite bizarre, some of which were just brilliant. And it just a real grab bag, the White Album. But, you know, up and down all over the place. And look, a fascinating album to listen to, because it had such sort of various sort of songs on it, you know, from like Blackbird, you know, the song before it was While My Guitar Gently Weeps, you know. I mean... Happiness is a warm gun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was.
And who could sit through the whole version?
Revolution.
Who can sit through the whole song? The whole song of Number Nine.
Yeah. I mean, really, it Obli D, Obli Da. Oh. I mean, you know, drums. You know, but then it had Piggy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, what wasn't covered in the White Album? You know. But, it didn't sort of matter what substance you were on, you could find something to like on the White Album, Hatter.
Yeah. Surely could.
Absolutely.
So,
thank you. Deb, did you want to say something?
Yeah, rather than read my poem, I just wanted to point out the only reason I wrote it was to call attention to the link in the author's notes, which is
right.
So sad. It's
apparently the songbirds are losing their song due to fear and rage. And really? I found that was heartbreaking, so I had to look it up. And what it was saying is that the scientists have long found out that the increased challenges from the habitat loss to altered food sources, larger population of predators such as skunks, rats, squirrels, and especially house compared to their rural cousins in particular, give them trouble for finding food, for nesting. They spend less time looking for food and feeding their babies because of the fear of being caught by one of these predators, even bigger birds, that it's affecting their development. And one of those developments is their song, and the backyard birds are losing their song, and that makes me want to cry. I just thought that was sadly fascinating that all these changes that we ignore, that we keep taking away their habitats, and the subtle things you lose, like a song whistling and singing you a good morning song. A lullaby at night, you know, it's a shame.
Yep. No,
we need the sound effect of a cash register every time we figure greed part of not actually.
We should absolutely. There's even a new thing. I don't even know if I'm going to say this word right now. It's predation. Paradox.
Yeah.
And it's it is these bigger. It's when a species eats other animals that they probably wouldn't have. They prey on them now. Well, like I said, the bigger birds are preying on the smaller birds, and it's all because it's so populated
and
predation. Paradox is a horrible thing.
See?
Killing birds.
Yeah, there you go. Amazing. So, Deb, I wanted to do two things, and Hatter, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to come to you shortly to find out a theme for next week. But before I do my live comp, I actually wanted to do a shout-out to who is now Australia's highest-paid sportsperson. And that person is none other than the starting offensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, Dev, Jordan Mailata, who was picked seventh. There's a bit of a speculation pick and has worked incredibly hard to become where he is now and to sign the contract he just signed. So a marvellous story of just hard work, endeavour, and just working your ass off, really. And So well done to Jordan Mailata as Australia's highest paid sportsperson. Good for him. Absolutely. Absolutely. Good news story. Meanwhile, I have to say that a person that was on site as a writer for many, many years and was an inspiration to many, many people, Mary Lou Healy, passed away at the age of 94 last month, and she did a wonderful poem about going around the back roads of the United States, and I tried very hard to actually write for the competition for her farewell, and I just couldn't do it, but then this morning something came together. So this is Pumpkins, by the way, and it goes a little bit like this. Signs in fluorescent green cardboard hang roughly nailed to trees beside the creased tarmac, advertising pumpkins at $2 for $5. First sign says they are 10 miles away, and then they count down as signs placed every now and again when the trees allow. While the curves take me left then right up a slight rise, I decide a purchase is required through more lazy bends and turns of this back road. No truck and seldom cars, just the flickering of sun through the overhanging gum trees, stuttering between shadow and light, silently whistling through the forest, until a turn off into a verge and there are a stack of pumpkins, as if smiling gnomes, lined up ahead.
I stop, get out, and am struck by the beautiful smell of untainted air, while the lyrical trills of a backbird echo from somewhere distant. I place a fiver in the honour box next to the mail slot, and my pumpkins are popped in the back seat. Too poor a mind of those journeys taken, and poets lost. End poem.
Nice, AP.
Yeah. Great tribute.
I remember when I first got here.
Bernie, yeah. Even the honor box, that there's a lady down the street with one out front, and it says, take what you need, leave what you can. And she's got some vegetables from her garden out there. Made me think of that. But what a great journey. And may she rest in peace. Beautiful share.
Yeah, at 93, she considered the greatest generation. Lived through a lot.
They did.
When I first got here to AP, I remember seeing Grad Sense always up on the who was online, and I jokingly went to Grad Sense and M. Lou and said, "Are you guys robots too?" I asked, I told them, "Are you guys robots too?" Because they're always there. And later I found out they got a kick out of it, but I got no answer from them.
Oh, really? No. Well, look, I always used to remember, I used to go to a fair few competitions when I first started, and M. Lou would be there, and I think to myself, there's one I'm not going to win again. And so she just was so consistently good at writing really, really well put together poems. It was funny because I started writing for that competition for her in her honour about four times, and I just couldn't get the right sense or feel. You know how sometimes you write something at her and you just look at it and you go, it's just not right, you know? And I did it three or four times, I looked at it and I said, it's just not right, you know? And then this morning, obviously I was in a better frame of mind or something, and I just sort of tried to capture the feel of this piece that was there, which was about going down back roads. And I sort of finally got what I wanted to get some weeks ago. So, because that's the poem I wanted to write, but I couldn't write when I had a short period of time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, if I remember right, Em Lou, she was huge in the group Prisms with the anthology books.
Yes, she was. And just a all-round good character and well-loved on the site. And so, you know, when you have those competitions in people's honour, you want to write a different poem. You don't want to put something up and have it just be ordinary. And where I got to was ordinary. And it often does take a bit of time for me to process things. And so here we are a couple of weeks later, and I've written this. And I was actually really happy with this poem. And it's not a rhyming poem, and it's not a poem of great, you know, great philosophical intent. It's just a poem of place and a poem of presence, I think. And so I actually really like this one.
Yeah, verses of tribute can be difficult, being that the only way you knew them was here on the site. It's the only thing you can grab to appreciate. So, yeah, I think at that point, anything is what you grab. That makes you more particular of what you want to say or how you say it.
Yeah, exactly right, Hatter. And you recognise too that maybe family are going to be reading it, and you just feel a sort of sense of obligation, or I did anyway. So, it was interesting. I went back to the page where I'd copied her sort of prompt poem, which was this poem about going down back lanes and secondary roads, and it said finally after a couple of weeks spare time and energy and everything else, the poem came that I wanted to write originally. So that's good.
Yeah, sometimes you try too hard. Sometimes you just end up trying too hard to say.
Yeah, I reckon that's true too. And you sort of put it on yourself, you know.
Sure.
And you sometimes just sort of, you just make it too hard for yourself, I think, Hatter, sometimes when you're trying to do that. And I think that's where I was. So, for you. And it's not without notice. Do you have a topic for next week?
Yes, I do.
Ah,
treasure.
Please share.
Treasures.
That's right.
Treasure. Yep.
Treasure. Yep. Okay. We can look at that. Treasure. I like treasure. Treasure's got a certain sort of sense to it. I like that a lot. Well, I think that's a good topic. I think we'll get some good poems, Hatter. Treasure is a good topic.
Yeah.
Nice and open and, yeah, very nice. And a sense of pirate there too. We've done pirates before, but there's a sort of pirate connection. That's always good.
Yeah.
I think we might have logically come to the conclusion of the show. I don't know. What do you think?
I do. Other than I would just like to say that I would like to tell our dear sweet pea that she is in our thoughts and that we miss her and that we will see her when she returns. Just so she knows how much we care and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Get well.
AP, I did put another one up there, if you wouldn't mind reading it.
Oh, well, if that's the case, we're going to finish with your poem, Hatter. If that's the case, we're going to finish with your poem.
Oh,
so,
all right.
So
sounds good.
If it is on the board, it is coming into the show, so let me grab it, and we will get you to read.
No, he wants you to read.
Oh, he wants me to read. Oh, if that's the case, I'm happy to read it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to read it. Okay, well, let me put it on the board, and I shall read it. So this is The Crow by Jay Hatter, read by me, and it goes a little bit like this. That morning I sat watching the trees when I noticed something staring at me. Two dark little eyes in concert with mine drew a cowardly feeling that raced down my spine. When a whistling pot I rose to attend, the window left open, I heard him fly in. On the chair he lit, just as he pleased, with those dark little eyes staring at me. He began to speak in riddles and rhymes, the words he spoke could have been mine. A life you possessed alone these past years, to those you left it brought sorrow and tears. Why are you here and how do you know? He ruffled his feathers, for I am a crow. I spoke to you once while at the stream, and I am that one you hear when lost in your dreams. I've come to help you and to guide you home, but lost you will if you try it alone. I will show you how, and with me as your guide, I shall give you wings, I will teach you to fly. Said in confusion, I've only one thing to say. Is it possible, please, that I not leave here today? His answer was quick as he raised his voice. It's already happened, you have no choice. Talks we sat for hours, it seemed, a talking crow. He sat as if in a dream. With wings from a blackbird, I flew to the sky, effortlessly soaring with a crow at my side. Feel not saddened, for I am now free of the sins and regrets that weighed so on me. This heavenly story I wished you to know. Do not fear to fly with a crow. End poem.
Thank you, AP.
There we go. And just in terms of the author's notes, the Yakka Indians revere the crow as a spirit guide that can travel to the afterlife. I tried for over a year to put this in a poem I was happy with. What happens to our reality when it is our time is something that's been written and feared since the beginning of time, and this is my attempt to express my feelings. There you go. Very well, Hatter. I liked the conversation. I, as you know, I struggle with conversations, although I think I'm slowly improving, but it's something that's really difficult to do because it can often feel forced or cut or sort of shortened, but that felt a very natural sort of conversation flow, and I think that's actually difficult to do.
Yeah, there were certain parts, like I believe the file was 14 months in working.
Yeah.
I didn't work on it every day. I didn't work on it every day, but
yeah.
I did work on it when I thought about it. And there were the conversation, I don't remember it being too difficult. I had that pretty much down, was the explanation of why the crow flew in, you know, and the acceptance of why he was there. I struggled with that.
Yeah.
When I finally got to where I think it was okay.
No, I think it actually worked really well. I think it worked really well. Deb, what did you think of Hatter's piece?
Well, actually, I got to be the one to read it when he wrote it originally.
Okay.
Or no, maybe not when he wrote it. I got to read it on the show for him a couple years back.
Yes.
And I mean, wow! I'm sort of blown away because it was like over 5 years ago that I read it on a different show. And I'm looking at some of the names and comments and stuff through here, and I'm looking at the fact that it's got like only 75 likes, and it's got multiple awards. And it's been on the front page, and it's on multiple lists. This is one of those wows of poems. Very impressive.
Yeah.
And it was nice to hear you read it. It's cool. I know how much he likes hearing other people read his poems, and it's funny how he got each of us to read this one. I guess next time you'll have to bring it when Sweet's around and have her read it for you, and then you will have had everybody on the board read it for you. Just say it.
That's a bad one.
Yeah. Awesome piece.
Cool. Thank you.
It's the gum. There are some big names and old names on that that piece, Deb. I'm just having a look now. So, lots of history there.
I got lost in some of the, yeah.
Try finding
the
bottom.
Yeah,
I'm still scrolling.
It just keeps going.
It does. Yeah, it does.
Wow.
Well, with that, Deb, I think we've probably now got to the end of the program. And we'd like to thank everybody for putting their SoundClouds into the program. So for Pretty Bird, for Cal, for Mr. Green, as always, keeping us honest, and then also contributing to our 9/11 works at the start of the program. Thanks to Stephen, to Sky. To my co-host Hatter and Deb and for all the work that Deb does to put the collaboration the collaborations we do together, Hatter, and does it so professionally and seamlessly. And so my thanks to everybody for their contributions to the program.
Sky.
And Hatter, did you want to make any last comments before we shut this down and spin it out?
Only that you two being partners of this Saturdays makes it enjoyable. Fastest 2 hours of the week.
It does run quick, doesn't it? It really does.
I agree. It's not the same as all three here.
No. It's got to be all three. But when there's a three of us, just sort of seems to sort of fit together quite nicely, and just sort of seems to be. So, thank you to both of you and to everybody for contributing to the show. And none other than Billy Joel and his New York State of Mind. One of my favourite songs, Hatter, I have to say. So,
amazing.
Just brilliant song. And what was
time to mute so you can sing loud.
I'll hit the mute, so I won't have everybody but singing along, but I'd encourage you to sing along. So this is Billy Joel finishing up with the show with New York State of Mind. We're on Treasure next week, so we'll see you for that, and bye, everybody.
Love and respect.
Thanks, here we go. Thanks, Hedda. Thanks, Deb.
I'm in a New York state of mind. I've seen all the movie stars in their fancy cars and their limousines. Been high in the Rockies, under the evergreens. I know what I'm needing. Don't wanna waste more time. I'm in a New York state of mind. It was so easy living day by day. Out of touch with the rhythm and blues. But now I need a little give and take. The New York Times, the Daily News. It comes down to reality, and it's fine with me, 'cause I've let it slide. Don't care if it's Chinatown or rotten Riverside. I don't have any reason left them all behind. I'm in a New York state of mind. Oh,
this song is interrupted by the fact that I think we have Sweet Pea online. Hello, Sweet.
Hi.
Is that you, Sweet? Hello, Sweet.
Are you muted?
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
I'm here.
Hello.
Hello.
We're not muted anymore.
You came in and I saw you there and we had the song playing and I thought, no, let's stop it. We're just going to stop that for a tick and we'll get Sweet on. How are you, Sweet?
Hey, Sweet.
I love that. Hi. How is everyone?
We are well. More importantly, how are you?
I'm doing okay. It's been a rough rough week, and things will probably get a little rougher, but can be. But I'm doing okay.
That is
still
good to hear. That is
still out of state.
Because
no, I came home.
Okay. Good. Nothing like being at home. So I say nothing like being at home. So, and we have the opportunity for you to put in, if you wish, a poem to finish us off, if you would like.
Okay.
So, if you want to place a poem directly on the board, be our, please, be my guest. In fact, you have. And so,
I did.
We're in your hands this week.
It's a short one, too.
Nothing wrong with that.
Blackbirds. Blackbirds. Bluebird songs and red cardinal melodies went silent. Gray pigeons, yellow warbles, and mighty sparrows covered in ash. Tears of an eagle rained onyx as towers fell and flashed, crashed. White doves and angels, all the wings in the sky turned black. And poem.
Very neat. Very neat. It reminds me of something. I'll tell you about that in one tick. Deb, did you want to say a few words about blackbirds?
I say that this is extremely powerful because right now I'm going to cry. I say that you're so strong, I'm impressed. And I love you.
Thank you.
And Hatta, did you want to say a few words?
I'm so glad you were able to make it at the end here, Sweets. Yeah, you're on our minds. I love this piece you wrote, Tears of an Eagle, Rained Onyx as Towers Fell, the Flash, Crashed White Doves and Angels, All the Wings in the Sky Turned Black. Yeah, never forget.
Never forget.
And it's and it's the survivors to carry on. It's our job. It's what we do. To carry on.
Yep. It is. And now the story, Sweet. In our major sporting stadium here, the Melbourne Cricket Ground, we have problems with seagulls. There are thousands of them. And they descend upon the ground to pick up chips and everything else. And they get in the way of things. And so somebody came up with the brilliant idea that they would actually put eagles, real eagles, on the top of the stands, and they would scare the seagulls such that the seagulls would never come because they think they would get eaten by these eagles that were sitting up there. As it turned out, the eagles were far too well fed, and so they didn't actually go after the seagulls, and so the eagles would sit there, and the seagulls still came. And I sort of thought about that when I read about eagles and towers, and I don't know why, but they found that fake eagles were just as effective. They just put fake eagles up on the – that seemed to work just as well. So there you go. Anyway, it was lovely to hear from you, Sweet. And I got to tell my eagle story, which was, you know, handy as well. So I'm not going to go back to the New York State of Mind because we played a lot of it. I'm just going to finish up now and say it's a great joy to hear from you, Sweet. It's just lovely to hear that you're in one piece and great to have your poem.
Thank you.
And we're going to do Treasure next week, and thank you to everybody for contributing to the show. It was fantastic, so thank you.
Yeah. Thank you,
guys.
Good job, Effie.
Okie doke.
Thanks,
Effie. Good night. Good night, everybody. Night.
Good night, Sweet.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Love and respect.
Good night.
Good night.